This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayelech, and we'll start with chapter 31, verse number 14. But we are mainly going to analyze verse number 16. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hein korvu yomech lomus, behold, your days are drawing near to die. Kroes Yoshua, call Yoshua. And you should stand in the tent of meeting. Vatzavenu, and I'll command them. Doesn't say what is being commanded. Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua. Moshe and Yeshua went. Vayisyatzu bo'el moed, and they stood at the tent of meeting. Vayeru Hashem bo'el. Hashem appeared in the tent. Ba'amud Anon, in a pillar of cloud. Vayamud Amude Anon. Al Pesach oil and the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance of the door. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hincha shoichev im avosecha, behold, you are going to lay with your forefathers, vekam ha'om azeh, and this nation will rise up, vezono acharei Elohei nachar oretz, and they will stray after the gods of the foreigners in the land, Asher hu v'ashama b'kirmoy, in whose midst is coming, Vazovani, and they will leave me, v'hefer as brisi, asher korat itoy, and to annul my covenant that I sealed with them. Meaning, according to the simple interpretation of the pasuk, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to call Yeshua, and they should stand at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and then a pillar of fire came down at the tent of meeting, and then Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he is about to die and the Jewish people are going to sin. But in the whole sequence of the psukim, we do not find that Hashem spoke to Yeshua. Then why did he call Yeshua to stand in the front of the tent of meeting? The Medrash Rabbah and the Yalkut Shimoni fill in the pieces, and they say that Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem that he doesn't want to die and he doesn't mind to be the student of Yeshua. Then Hashem made Yeshua stand at the tent of meeting, and the pillar of clouds blocked between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu could not hear. Afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Yeshua, what did Hashem speak to you? Yeshua answered to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the years that I was your student, did I ever once ask you what Hashem spoke to you? Moshe Rabbeinu got jealous. Moshe Rabbeinu announced, Meya misois veloi kino achas, I prefer to die 100 deaths and not have one jealousy, meaning I don't want to be jealous on Yeshua. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu resigned himself to die, and that's why right afterwards Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that Hincha shoichev mavisecha, that you are going to lay with your forefathers, v'kam ha'mazev, this nation is going to rise up, v'zono achra Elohei nechar oretz, and they are going to commit idolatry. The question that we have on this medrash is that this medrash contradicts a Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf kaf hei, amet beis, 105b. The Gemara there says, in the name of Rabbi Yosi bar Chuni, bakoil odom iskana, a man is jealous of everyone, chutz mibnoi v'talmidoi, besides his son and his students. Meaning that normally a person is jealous on other people's successes, but when the success is involving his son or his student, meaning that they are excelling above what he had, or they are having equal or greater success, then a parent or a teacher is not jealous of the achievements of the son or his students. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the teacher of Yeshua. If that is true, then how can we say now that Moshe Rabbeinu was jealous on Yeshua, so much so that he said that I would rather die 100 deaths and not have one jealousy, when we know that the Gemara says that a teacher is not jealous on the student? Then how do we explain this medrash? I saw once a beautiful interpretation that the Medrash doesn't mean to say that altogether. The Medrash means to say exactly the opposite. Meaning that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Yeshua what Hashem said. From Yeshua's answer, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that all the years that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua was jealous. Meaning that from the fact that Yeshua answered that all the years that Hashem spoke to you, did I ever once ask you what Hashem said, that showed that Yeshua was jealous the whole time. Moshe Rabbeinu was always humble, and he never thought that somebody is going to be jealous of him. But now that Yeshua made him aware that he was special, that Hashem spoke to him, and everybody wanted to know what Hashem spoke to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu realized that people were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to be the vehicle of people's jealousy. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'll rather die 100 thefts than cause other people to become jealous on me. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu was jealous on Yeshua, because clearly the Gemara says that a person is not jealous in his student. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not be jealous on Yeshua. Plus, the Torah clearly testifies that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on earth, and humble people usually are not jealous on other people. But Moshe Rabbeinu realized from Yeshua's answer that Yeshua said that all the time that Hashem spoke to you, did I ever once ask you what Hashem said? And Yeshua didn't say what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. From there, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that Yeshua was jealous, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to die, because he didn't want to be the vehicle to cause other people to become jealous. Now we'll go to the pasuk that we are going to discuss, which is pasuk number 16, where the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe." Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hincha shoychev imavoisecha." Behold, you are going to lay with your forefathers. "Vekam ha'am azeh," and this nation will get up. "Vezana acharei Elohei neichar aretz," and they are going to commit idolatry. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis 52b says in the name of Isi ben Yehuda that this is one of the five psukim that don't have a determination which way the word goes. Rashi explains that we could interpret this pasuk in two ways. We could say that it means to say Hincha shoychev mavoisecha vekam, that you are going to lay if your forefathers and then you'll get up, which is going to be an allusion for Tchias HaMeisim, for the resurrection of the dead. And we will soon see the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara actually brings this idea. And the second interpretation is Vekam ha'om hazeh vezono acharei Elohei neichar aretz, that this nation will get up and they will commit idolatry. Sefer Chaintov brings in the name of his rabbi, but he doesn't say his rabbi's name, that everybody admits that the pasuk cannot go only backwards, meaning the pasuk cannot just go Hincha shoychev imavoisecha vekam, that you are going to lay if your forefathers and you are going to get up, because it's impossible to say that, because then the continuation of the pasuk does not make sense, because the continuation of the pasuk says Ha'am azeh vezana, that this nation will commit idolatry, but doesn't say what's going to happen. Therefore, clearly the word vekam must go to vekam ha'am azeh vezana, that this nation is going to get up and commit idolatry. But since the pasuk writes down with the word vekam, that they will get up, and normally when you write down the word vekam to get up, that means that you are going to have an elevation, that you are going to be upgraded, as it's written, the pasuk in Parshas Chayesara, in Bereishis chapter 23, verse number 20, where it's written, Vayokom hasadeh ve'amaro asher bo el Avram, that the field and the cave that in it went up to Avram. Rashi writes down, what does it mean, Vayakam? Rashi says, Tekuma hoysaloi, that it was an upgrade to the field, that before it was in the hand of an evil person and now it's in the hand of a righteous person. So if that is the interpretation clearly here, where the pasuk says, "Vekam ha'am azeh vezona," that this nation is going to get up and commit idolatry, clearly it cannot mean just that this nation is going to get up and commit idolatry. Plus, if that would be the interpretation, then the pasuk Suzov just wrote down, "Vezona ha'am azeh," that this nation is going to commit idolatry, acharei Eloheinei ha'aretz, after the gods of the land. From the fact that it's written the word vekam, which means to be an upgrade, clearly the pasuk must mean that it goes backwards also, that it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu also, that hincha shoychev mavoisecha, that you are going to lay if your forefathers vekam, and you will get up to tchias amesim, to the resurrection of the dead. But in truth, this is not an ironclad answer, because the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks the same question. He asks, what kind of going up is it when you commit idolatry? Quite opposite. It's a yerida and hashpala. It's going down and being humiliated, that you're acting like that you go ahead and commit idolatry of other gods. Therefore, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh explains that the Vekam explains why we are going to commit idolatry. Since it's written in Parshas Hazino, chapter 32, verse number 15, where there it says, Vaishman Yeshurun, that Israel became fat, Vaivat, and he kicked out, Shomanto, you became fat, Ovisa, you became thick, Koshisa, you have become corpulent, then Vayitosh Eloika also, then we deserted Hashem that made us, meaning that when the Jewish people become wealthy, when they have a lot, that's when they forget Hashem. That is usually when they kick out Hashem. Therefore, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says, the pasuk is saying the reason why you are going to go after the idols, that the Kam Ha'am Azeh, this nation is going to get upgraded, not upgraded in spirituality, they are going to get upgraded in wealth, and then because of that upgrade, they are going to think that they have to assimilate with their surroundings. They have to be like the Goyim, because they have so much and they want to be equal. At that time, you are going to commit idolatry. So according to Or HaChaim, Vekam is really the reason why the Jewish people are going to commit idolatry. And he says that the reason is because you are going to have the fat of the land. You are going to have oisher and covet. You are going to have wealth and honor, and that is going to cause you that you are going to kick out Hashem. And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says that we have a proof that this is the meaning, because right after Moshe Rabbeinu was forewarned by Hashem that the Jewish people are going to get wealthy and then they are going to kick out Hashem, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu decides right in the sequence to forewarn the Jewish people in the same way. Therefore in Shiras Hazinu he writes down the pasuk that we mentioned, that Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, the Yeshurun, Israel became fat and then kicked out, and Shomanto Viso Koshiso Vayitosh Eloka Asol, and he kicked out Hashem that made it, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu forwarded the warning that he received from Hashem to the Jewish people. Then the Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a second interpretation, and he says that maybe the word Vekam Ha'am Azeh, that this nation will arise, it's not referring to this nation that is in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that these people that are coming into Eretz Israel, it could be referring to the next generation, the generation that will get up, meaning the future generation. They are the generation that are going to commit idolatry. But this generation that is coming into Eretz Israel is not going to commit idolatry. And he brings proof from what's written in the end of Yeshua, chapter 24, verse number 31, where the pasuk there testifies, "Vayavod Yisrael as Hashem kol yemei Yeshua," that the Jewish people served Hashem all the days of Yeshua, "V'kol yemei hazakenim," and all the days of the elders, "Asher herichu yomim achre Yeshua," that they lived after Yeshua, "V'asher yadu es kol maaseh Hashem asher asu leYisrael," and all the people that knew all the deeds of Hashem that Hashem did to the Jewish people. Meaning that the generation that came into Eretz Yisrael and the generation that was under Yeshua and even after Yeshua, during the days of the elders that were from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that generation never committed idolatry. They always served Hashem. Therefore, only the next generation is a generation that is not going to serve Hashem. Then, according to the Rachaim, that is what is meant to say, V'kam ha'om hazeh, that this nation will rise up, which means that a new nation will rise up from these people. These people are going to have children, and those children that are going to rise up, those are the children that are going to commit idolatry. The only problem with this Or HaChaim HaKodesh is that Or HaChaim HaKodesh totally ignores the word Aham Azeh, this nation. If you are referring to the people that are going to arise afterwards, the Pasuk should have said, V'kam Ha'am, and the nation will arise, V'zano Acharei Eloheinei Chayoretz, and they will commit idolatry. Why does the Torah have to write down V'kam Ha'am Azeh, that this nation is going to rise up? Theoretically, this nation, according to the Rachaim HaKodesh himself, never rose up and committed idolatry, because they were always loyal to Hashem. Only the next generation is the generation that is going to start to commit idolatry. Then we have a problem, according to the Rachaim HaKodesh, why it's written the word Hazeh. The Rabbeinu Bachya gives a different interpretation altogether on the word V'kam. And according to Rabbeinu Bachya, we could answer our original question, where do we see that Hashem spoke to Yehoshua? Meaning, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua to stand at the tent of meeting, but yet it seems that Hashem is ignoring totally Yehoshua. True that we mentioned from the Medrash that there was a silent conversation between Hashem and Yehoshua, but Rabbeinu Bachya says that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Incho Shoychev Mavisecho, that you are going to lay if your fathers will come and you are going to get up, that means that true that you are going to lay with your fathers, but your might will come, but your koach, your strength, everything that you had will get up even after your death. And it's not referring, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, to Tchias HaMeisim, to the resurrection of the dead, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get up. It's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's might, that Moshe Rabbeinu's might is going to go to Yehoshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to light up Yehoshua even after his death. As the Gemara writes down, that Yehoshua was like the moon and Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun, which means that the moon doesn't have its own light. It gets its light from the sun. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to light up Yehoshua even after Moshe Rabbeinu's death, and that was the message that Hashem was giving to Yehoshua, that Hincha Shoychem Avosecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, you are going to go lay with your forefathers, meaning you are going to die, but nonetheless, V'kam, you are going to rise up, that you are going to light up to Yehoshua. Yehoshua is not going to have his own light, he is going to be a reflection of your light, in the same way that the moon is a reflection of the sun. So too, Yehoshua is going to reflect the light of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's not going to have his own light. And now we are going to go to the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Amud Beis 90a, where the Gemara there is discussing the Tchias HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. The Gemara says, Shualu minimes Rav Gamliel, heretics est Rav Gamliel, Menayin shakodesh baruch hu mechay HaMeisim. How do I know that Hashem resurrects the dead? Amalohem, he told them, Mina Torah, I have proof from the Torah, Umina Nevim, from the prophets, Umina Ksuvim, and from the writings, Veloi Kiblu Mimenu, but they did not accept his answer. The first answer, he says, is from our Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hincha Shoichem Mevoisecha, V'kam, behold, you are going to lay with your forefathers, meaning that you are going to die, V'kam, and you are going to get up, meaning that you are going to be resurrected. From here we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get up, Tchias HaMeisim. Omru Loi, so the heretics answered them, V'dilma, V'kam Ha'am Hazeh V'zana. Maybe the verse V'kam doesn't go backwards as you, Rav Gamliel, is trying to interpret, maybe the verse goes forward that this nation will arise and they will commit idolatry. Therefore, Rav Gamliel tries to bring a proof from the prophets and from the writing, and those proofs are also dismissed by the heretics, until Rav Gamliel finds a proof from a pasuk in Devarim, chapter 11, verse 21, where there the pasuk says that Ashenish Hashem Lavoiseichem Lo Seis Lohem, that you're coming to the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers to give to them, Lohem, to you, Loi Neymar, it's not written, Elo Lohem, that Hashem is going to give to your forefathers, Mikan Tchias HaMeisi Mina Torah, from here you have a clear proof that there is going to be a resurrection of the dead. Meaning that Rav Gamliel eventually has to bring another pasuk written in the Torah to prove the resurrection of the dead. Then we have another Gemara which is in the same page, where the Gemara there says, Shuali Romim as Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, that the Romans asked Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, Menayin Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mechayem Meisim, how do we know that Hashem will resurrect the dead, Veyoidea Ma She'asid Liyois, and Hashem knows what is going to happen? Amar Lehu, Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya answered them, Travayu Min HaMikro Hazeh, that we could learn both from this single pasuk. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe," Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hincha shoychev mavoisecha, behold, you are going to lay with your forefathers, vekam ha'amazeh vezona, and this nation is going to rise up and commit idolatry." Meaning that Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya learned this pasuk in the same way that Isi ben Yehuda in Yuma learned that pasuk, that we don't know exactly where the word vekam goes. Therefore, we learn the word vekam backwards and we learn the word vekam forwards, meaning that it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lay with his forefathers, then he's going to rise up, and then this nation is going to rise up and commit idolatry. So from here we see that Hashem resurrects the dead, and also that Hashem knows the future, because Hashem is already telling us that we are going to commit idolatry. The Romans did not accept that. The Romans asked, the Dilma maybe, Vekam ha'am azeh vezana. The word Vekam only goes forward, and it means to say that this nation is going to rise up and commit idolatry. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya answered them, Nekoit mi opal gabi yodeichi, at least take half in your hand, the yodeya ma she'asid liyoyz, Hashem knows already what is going to happen. Meaning that you asked me two questions. You asked me, how do I know that Hashem resurrects the dead? And also, how do I know that Hashem knows what is going to happen? At least take one answer. Meaning that at least we see from here that Hashem knows what is going to happen, because clearly Hashem says that this nation is going to arise and commit idol worship. We see clearly that Hashem knows what is going to happen. The question that Mefarshim asked is, why didn't Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya bring another pasuk to prove that there is going to be Tchias HaMeisim, there is going to be resurrection of the dead? The Gemara in Sanhedrin on the page brings various psukim to prove that there is going to be resurrection of the dead. As we mentioned, Rav Gamliel brought another pasuk after the heretics complained about the pasuk that he brought. Then why didn't Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya give another pasuk for the Romans to prove that there is going to be a resurrection of the dead? The Kliokor gives a totally different interpretation on the proof that there is going to be Tchias HaMeisim. And to you do that, the Kliokor interprets the word Vekam differently. First, the Kliokor says that the fact that the word Vekam is completely superfluous, because if the meaning was that the nation will commit adultery, then the pasuk should have just said, "Vezana ha'am azeh achrei Elohei necher oretz," that this nation will commit idolatry after the gods of the country. Meaning, you don't have to write down the word "vekam." Therefore, he says that the word "vekam" comes from what is written in Parshas Kisetze, where there it's written by a nara murasa, somebody who is going to rape an engaged woman in the field, and there the pasuk in chapter 22, verse number 26 says, Ulanaro lo sase dover, you shouldn't do anything to the girl. Eng lanaro het moves, this girl that was raped, doesn't have guilt of death. Ki kasha yokum ish al reyeu, as a person would get up on his enemy, uretzochoi nefesh, and kill him, ken adover azeh, so is this thing, meaning this deed that he did, that he raped this woman, is tantamount to somebody getting up and committing murder. So we see that a lot of times we say the word yakum regarding something bad, and he says that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was being warned about, that you are going now to lay if your forefathers, but you should know that this nation will get up, they'll go and commit a huge sin, that they are going to commit idolatry, and that is tantamount as they would do something bad to you, meaning that this nation will rise up against you. In the same way that when you teach a person Torah and he follows in your footsteps, you get credit for that. The same thing happens if you do not teach and you do not warn the people of what is going to happen, then you take part in the guilt. And therefore, it's it never come, and this nation will arise on you. They will cause you trouble, and they will commit idolatry. And he says that even though the word "vekam" means that this nation will arise and commit idolatry, but since you are going to be to blame, that means that you are going to have to suffer. From there, automatically, we see that there is going to be Tchias HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, what does Moshe Rabbeinu care if the people are going to sin or not? Once he is in the grave, then that's it. From the fact that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that this nation is going to arise and commit idolatry, and this is going to affect you, because they'll get up on you and they'll cause you trouble by committing idolatry, from that fact we see that there is Tchias HaMeisim, that there is a resurrection of the dead. And the Kliyoker further says that the reason that Hashem tells this to Moshe Rabbeinu is that since now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to warn the Jewish people many more times, then Moshe Rabbeinu will not bear any more guilt for the sins of the Jewish people. And according to this, we could explain that this is what Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah was trying to explain to the Romans, that the word "vekam" is extra, and because it's extra, it means to say that you are going to rise over Moshe Rabbeinu automatically. It shows that Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future, and also that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get up for the resurrection of the dead. But the Romans did not accept, and they said maybe the verse means just that the Jewish people are going to sin and commit idolatry. Then clearly by this statement, the Romans show that they don't believe that the Torah was divinely given and every word of the Torah is exact and signifies something. Therefore, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah says that at least you could learn from this Torah that Hashem knows what's going to happen. But Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah decides not to bring another verse like Rabbi Gamliel brought, that Hashem promised this land to give to them, because since the Romans don't believe that the Torah has to be exact, they will say that there too the Torah was not exact, and it does not convey the idea that Hashem will give the land to Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov themselves, and only means that Hashem is going to give the land to the Jewish people. Therefore, Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah decided not to bring any other proofs. Sefer Chanukas HaTorah says that the Romans knew about a certain pasuk that's written previously in the Gemara in Tav Tzadik Omed Beis, where the Gemara brings the pasuk in Bamidbar chapter 18 verse 28, where the pasuk there is talking about Trumas Meiser, meaning that from the tithe that the Levite gets, he's supposed to give 10% to the Kohen, and that is considered Trumas Meiser. And the pasuk says, "Venosatom imenu es Trumas Hashem," you should give from it a truma to Hashem, laharon haKohen, to Aharon the Kohen. The Gemara asks, v'chi Aharon lo'olam kayam, Aharon lives on forever, v'lo yonechlas etz Yisrael, shenoisun lo'y truma. Aharon never got into etz Yisrael, then how can we give him truma? Truma's meiser only applies from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, and since Aharon haKohen never came into Eretz Yisrael, how can you give the truma to Aharon? The Gemara answers, Melamed she'asit lachyois v'Yisrael noisim netruma. From here we learn that Aharon HaKohen is going to be resurrected, and the Jewish people are going to give truma to Aharon HaKohen. Mikan, from here we have proof, l'tchias ha'meisim, that there is going to be resurrection of the dead, min ha'Torah, from the Torah. Meaning that you have a proof from the Torah that there is going to be the resurrection of the dead. Sefer Chanukah Zator explains that the Romans knew this pasuk, but the Romans had a doubt regarding the future. Meaning that right there when the pasuk was written, Aharon HaKohen did not yet sin. He did not yet hit the rock that caused them to die in the desert. Then maybe, at that point, Hashem said to give the truma to Aharon HaKohen, because at that point Aharon was destined to come into Eretz Yisrael. But now that he doesn't come into Eretz Yisrael, then the pasuk doesn't really apply. The pasuk is ineffective now, because now Aharon won't come into Eretz Yisrael, and there won't be a resurrection of the dead. And the Romans thought that the reason that Hashem does not know what is going to happen in the future is that since a person has free will, he has the right and he has the ability to change what is going to happen in the future, and Hashem doesn't know what he is going to choose in the future. Therefore, the Romans came to Rabbi Shimon ben Hanania and asked him, how do we know that Hashem resurrects the dead? And how do we know that Hashem knows what is going to happen in the future? Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah knew their intentions, therefore Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah decided to bring one pasuk that has both components. And this is our pasuk, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that you are going to lay if your forefathers and you are going to get up. And also that this nation is going to get up and commit idolatry. The Romans did not accept the first part of the pasuk, and they told them that maybe the whole verse is trying to say that the Jewish people are going to get up in the future and commit idolatry. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Hananiah says that at least you have to admit that Hashem knows what is going to happen. Once you admit that Hashem knows what's going to happen, then clearly Hashem knew that Aharon HaKohen is going to sin and he's going to die in the desert. And yet Hashem still says that you should give the truma to Aharon the Kohen, then obviously it means to say that Aharon HaKohen is going to be resurrected and he's going to receive the truma. Therefore, says Sefer Chanukah Zator, that Rabbi Shimon ben Hananiah giving a proof that Hashem knows what is going to happen, automatically that gave an answer to the Romans that Hashem will in the future resurrect the dead. Because since Hashem already knows that the Jewish people are going to sin, even though they have a free choice to sin or not to sin, but Hashem could see in the future that they already sinned, then Hashem already knows that Aharon HaKohen is going to sin, and yet Hashem says that you should give the truma to Aharon HaKohen, clearly means that Aharon HaKohen is going to be resurrected, and therefore we have a proof that Hashem resurrects the dead. The Chasam Sofer, quoting his Rabbi, Rav Nosna Adler, that from the fact that the pasuk writes down that the Jewish people are going to sin, automatically it's alluded, Tchias HaMeisim, it's alluded the resurrection of the dead. And he is going to translate the word V'kam, the word that rise up, in two ways. One, that this nation is going to rise up at the resurrection of the dead. And the second, that this nation will rise up and commit idolatry. Both is intended by the word V'kam, that he'll rise up, and it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to rise up, but that the people will rise up by Tchias HaMeisim. And he explains, based on what the Parashas Drachim in Drosh Ches, Drosh number 8, explains on the Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar, Parsha 19, Simon Vav, where there the Medrash says, Loimes Moshe bechutz laretz, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not die outside of Eretz Yisrael, Elo kedei sheyavi imoy dor amidbar, only in order that he brings together, when he resurrects himself, the generation of the desert to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that by itself the generation of the desert should not be able to be resurrected to come in the time of Mashiach, in the time where we have the third Beis Hamikdash, but from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu now died outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he is going to be resurrected, then the Jewish people are also going to be resurrected with him. That is the simple interpretation of that Medrash. But the Parashas Drachim explains this Medrash based on what's written in the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra Rabbah, Lamed Beis 32, Simon Beis, Simon 2, where the Medrash Rabbah analyzes the Pasuk in Tehillim 95, which we say every Friday night, where the last Pasuk says, Asher Nishbati Ba'api, that I swore in my anger, Im Yevoyun Am Nechosi, if they will come to my resting place, meaning they will come to the Beis Hamikdash, to the resting place that's going to be. Hashem swore that this generation of the desert will not come in the resting place. So the Medrash says, Limnucha Zois Ein Boim, to this resting place they won't come, meaning the first Beis Hamikdash is going to be built, they won't come. Avo Boim Limnucha Cheres, but they will come to the other resting place, to the place of the Beis Hamikdash that's going to be built, Limoisa Moshiach, in the time of Moshiach. Again, Hashem promised that this generation of the desert won't come into his resting place. That means that only if he builds the first resting place, then this generation of the desert won't be able to come in. But if there's going to be another resting place, then Hashem never promised that this generation of the desert won't come in. Therefore, the generation of the desert could be resurrected in order to come in to another resting place. Comes out that it's for the benefit of the generation of the desert that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, because only then they'll be able to get in when they are resurrected, because otherwise Hashem already swore that they won't get in this resting place. Rav Nosson Adra says that it's also known from Sefer Megaleh Amukos that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have built a Beis Hamikdash, and once Moshe Rabbeinu builds a Beis Hamikdash, that Beis Hamikdash cannot be destroyed, because the Gemara in Soita Daf Tes Amud Aleph 9a says that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu and David built, the enemies could not destroy. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was hidden away, it was never taken into captivity. Because everything that Moshe Rabbeinu builds, the enemies could not take control of it. Then, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis Hamikdash. That Beis Hamikdash could not be destroyed. If that Beis Hamikdash cannot be destroyed, then automatically the Jewish people from the desert cannot be resurrected, because they won't be able to come in to a different resting place. And Hashem had promised that this resting place, which is the first Beis Hamikdash, they won't be able to come in. Therefore, only if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come into Eretz Yisrael, that is the only time where the people of the desert could be resurrected. And that is what the Medrash means to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu died outside of Eretz Yisrael in order to allow that the generation of the desert should be resurrected. And the point of this Medrash is not, as we explained before, that if Moshe Rabbeinu is resurrected, automatically Hashem resurrects the people. That is not the reason. The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu has to die outside of Eretz Yisrael is in order for him not to build the Beis Hamikdash. If he doesn't build the Beis Hamikdash, then the Beis Hamikdash could be destroyed. And if the Beis Hamikdash could be destroyed, there is going to be a new Beis Hamikdash when Moshiach comes. Then the people of the desert could be resurrected. But their resurrection is independent of Moshe Rabbeinu's resurrection. But continues Rav Nosson Adra, since Moshe Rabbeinu did not go into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu did not build the Beis Hamikdash. Then the Beis Hamikdash was built by other people, and since the Jewish people committed idolatry, that caused the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. And because the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, now the generation of the desert could be resurrected, because they will come into a new resting place, and Hashem said that they are allowed to come into a new resting place. According to this, Rav Nosson Adler explains, the verse follows this way. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hincho shoichev m'avoisecho, you are going now to lay with your forefathers here outside of Eretz Yisrael. Automatically, if you lay outside of Eretz Yisrael, then the Kama Mazah, this nation is going to rise up, the Zono Acharei Elohei Necharetz, and they will commit idolatry. Once this nation will rise up and commit idolatry, then automatically they will cause that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then the Kam Ha'am Hazeh, this nation will have an uplifting that they'll be able to be resurrected. Because unless the Jewish people commit idolatry and they cause the destruction of the first temple, then this people of the desert, this nation here that died in the desert, won't be able to be resurrected. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I want you to die outside of Eretz Yisrael. Like that, the people will commit idolatry. Once they commit idolatry, then I will cause the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then I'll be able to elevate the people, meaning I'll be able to resurrect these people, because I promise that they won't come into my first temple. I never promise they won't come into the future temple that will be from Moshiach. Therefore, they'll merit to be resurrected. So according to Rav Nosson Adler, the Pasuk V'kam Ha'am Hazeh is referring to the generation of the desert. And therefore, it's written, Ha'am Hazeh, this nation here that died in the desert, will have an uplifting, will have a tekuma, because they're going to rise up in Tchias HaMeisim, but that is only possible if incho shoichev imavisecho, if you leave your forefathers, meaning that you die here outside of Eretz Israel. And that is what Rabbi Shabbat Hanani tried to say, that from the same pasuk that v'kam ha'am hazeh, that this nation rose up, we learn two things. One, that they're going to commit idolatry and Hashem knows what's going to happen in the future. And second, that there is going to be Tchias HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. And Hashem Yisburach should help that Mashiach should come soon in our days. He should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We should have the resurrection of the dead. B'imhera b'yomeinu. Amen.